reading to you from the 22nd chapter of Revelation and with the 19th verse. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach, and boy, howdy, I've been trying. Oh, you know, I wished I could sit here on the broadcast site and tell you I've always did what God wanted me to do. I wished I could do that, but if I told you that, I'd be lying. No man or no woman has ever done all that God wants them to do. Well, we're having beautiful weather, hot weather here in Colorado, and so now we're getting ready to get some gardens grown up and get some fresh corn and fresh cucumbers and tomatoes. Oh my, that sounds good. Well, listen, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 59th chapter of Isaiah. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness is sustained. It has sustained him. Now, we've labeled this, what makes God wonder? Well, many things make us wonder. We behold the seven wonders of the world. We wonder at sights and sounds that go beyond our understanding. We wonder at a newborn babe, a raging storm, a volcano erupting, an earthquake. My stars, and many things that we wonder about. Well, we wonder at the great works of God. And I read in Psalms 77:11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Well, we behold the wonders of his creation, and boy, howdy, you'd be surprised, these atheists these lost, doomed and damned people that talk about, well, how did this earth become here? Well, the Bible's very plain. But they don't believe the Bible, so they just go on wondering what's going on. We behold the wonders of his great love, the incarnation, the cross, the resurrection. My stars. Do you realize, beloved, and of course I know those of you who are Christians and been Christians for a while know that that resurrection was very important to our faith. For had not Christ arose from the grave in 3 days and conquered death and hell, you and I wouldn't have a blessed thing to talk about. We behold the great wonders of fulfilling prophecy and the prospect of Jesus' return. Oh, listen, what makes God wonder? Well, first of all, God must wonder at the passiveness of his people over sin. And I read in the second verse, "But our iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perseverance. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. And there's no judgment in their doing goings. And they have made them crooked paths, and whoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore in judgment for us, far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar are all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but is as far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from God, speaking oppressions and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment. Oh, listen. Consider that terrible moral and spiritual conditions in Isaiah's time. It was a time of violence and dishonesty. Look what it said here. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongues hath muttered perverseness. Well, it was a time of dishonesty, and it was a time of injustice and crooked dealings. In verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. It was a time when evil seemed to be triumphing over good. Listen to what it said in verse 5. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting the destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whatsoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Oh, friends, does this sound familiar to you today? Do you see evil? Do you see evil on the rise today? Confusion reigned among the people. We all roar like bears and mourn sour like doves. Verse 11. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. And you know what dove sounds like. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. No strong public outcry against these sins could be heard. Friends, listen, really and lately I have not noticed any great spiritual rising, leaders rising up against the government today. And we have the most corrupt government in the world. Oh, yes, we do, from the leader on down. You know, we used to see, if you was a Democrat, boy, you believed everything a Democrat said, or if you're a Republican or an independent, whatever it is. But now you don't know who to believe. We hear them get up on television. Boy, their sins are going to find them out. Oh, my. What liars. And I use that word strongly, liars. What does the Bible say the liars are going to spend eternity in a devil's hell? Well, the sins of a nation bring judgment when not restrained. God must wonder at the persecution of his people who stand for the truth. And I want you to know, if you stand up for the truth, you're going to be criticized. Oh my, yes you are. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself prey. Verse 15. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Well, let me ask you this. Those who stand against evil often place themselves in jeopardy. Friends, I don't know if you know how many missionaries have been killed for the truth. You remember the five young preacher boys down in South America that was killed by the Acas Indians. What a tragedy that was. But did you know that one of those men that threw the arrow that killed one of the preachers later was converted to Christ, was saved, and baptized the son of the preacher that he killed? Well, you know, the ladies come back and they went to work. And there was, I don't know how many more missionaries volunteered to go overseas after that tragedy. So God turned a terrible thing into a beautiful thing. Consider the persecution of the prophets in the past. Now, Jesus is the prime example of one who suffered for righteousness. His pure life turned the legalist of his day against him. You know, it's terrible to be a legalist. Do's and don'ts. You know what I say? Trust and obey. Not don't do this, don't do that. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to trust him. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to obey him. And if he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, that's your responsibility. That's mine. Some people think that missionaries only go overseas. My stars in the morning, we have missionaries in America. Did you know that many foreign countries are sending missionaries to America because we're so godless? Oh, yes, they are. Well, those who claim to be righteous crucified the righteous one. I can't imagine, oh friends, really, I know this might sound silly, but I can't imagine why Jesus would leave heaven to come down in this sinful world and to die for us? Well, John 3:16 told us why. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His pure life turned the legalists of his day against him. Well, Paul said this is an ever-enduring condition. All that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecutions. Oh, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. Now, you've heard these namer and claimers on TV, and they'll get up and they say, now, honey, if you'll send me $1,000 seed, all your family's going to be saved. You will never have any more problems, no more sickness, no more sorrow. What liars! What does it say? Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that's what the book says. Well, then Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:23, Paul was shipwrecked, stoned, and imprisoned. And here's what he said. I must needs glory. I will glory the things which concern mine infirmities. Instead of complaining and moaning and groaning like many of us have done, he just said, I'm just going to glory in the things in my infirmities. Yes, and he had his head cut off in prison in Rome. My, the things you remember now, let's face it. Paul, who at one time was Saul of Tarsus, he went about persecuting Christians, putting them in prison. He saw Stephen stoned to death. He held his coat. But Saul, who later was named Paul, he couldn't get that off in his mind. Here was a man that died. Oh, he died a wonderful death. You know, someone said, Christians die good. Well, I think they're right. Well, all that will live God in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. Now, God must wonder at the prayerlessness of his people in sinful situations. Friends, I want to ask you, do you pray every day for America? Do you pray for our servicemen and women overseas that are dying, and they're dying pretty heavy now? If those politicians would keep their nose out of the war, let the generals that are trained, we could probably get this thing taken care of. Oh, I'm against war. Yes, I am, friends, but you know, the Japanese, they attacked us. We didn't attack them. Now, I spent 4 years, and a lot of people listening to the broadcast tonight spent years in the service protecting our country and our flag. And I'm so glad that God let me do that. No, my ship didn't win the war, but we sure helped. We were at Okinawa, we were at Guadalcanal. We were many places, but people don't pray like they should. And let me ask you this. I know this sounds senseless, but I want to ask you, Christian, when was the last time, think about this, when was the last time that you told Jesus you loved him? God the Father loves to hear that. You know, he used to go out in the garden and fellowship with Adam and Eve. And then, you know what happened? Eve, she got the fruit, and her and her husband sinned, and they were cast forth out of the garden. And God would come out and he said, Adam, where are you? Well, Adam was hiding because he saw he was naked. You see, sin is a terrible thing. People laugh and joke about it, but it's no joke, because it was sin that took my Savior to the cross. Yet he himself was sinless. Never sinned a day. He was tempted just as much as you and I have ever been tempted, but he sinned not. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Interceding for those in desperate situations has been a mark of heroes of the faith. You know what, friends? Abraham interceded for Lot and those in sinful Sodom. Do you know what? We got a Sodom and Gomorrah here in Denver and Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle, New York. My wife and I visited New York a few years ago, and I could not believe what I saw. My wife and I went in a place to have breakfast, and there was two men in a booth, and they were kissing and hugging, and women. Talk about nauseous. I couldn't eat my breakfast. Talk about, and nobody said nothing. Oh, you don't say nothing to homosexuals, you know what? Because we're bigoted and narrow-minded. Well, so is God, because God told them they weren't going to go to heaven. I want them to go to heaven, and they can. They certainly can go to heaven. But, you know, they've got to be converted. And it's for you and me to tell them that the Bible says they're not going to go to heaven unless they've been born again. See, I knew I wasn't going to heaven because I knew there was in the Bible where drunkards shall not go to heaven. I knew that, and it scared me to death. Moses interceded for Israel when they deserved judgment. Man, read Exodus. Jeremiah interceded with tears over the sins of his people. Oh, I can understand how Jeremiah must have felt. Oh, my stars. Oh, he wept for them. He prayed for them. Jesus interceded for those who were crucifying him. And I read in Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Boy, that would have to be a divine savior to say that. The early church interceded for Peter when he was in prison. Don't you remember that in Acts? They threw him in prison for preaching. And so the church, they started praying for old Peter. My, well, the Lord sent the angels and shook the things off in his arms, his shackles, and let him out. And so here old Peter was knocking on the door of the church. Someone went to the door and said, who is it? He said, no, it's me, Peter. Oh, it ain't you, because we've been praying for you. Yeah, can you believe that? Can you believe that? Well, we ought to follow their example and pray fervently for all church leaders. Hey, listen, our church leaders are not perfect, and boy, you're listening to one that's not perfect. Let me ask you, where are those who will speak out against sin? And where are those who will stand for truth in spite of the cost? Where are the intercessors we need in this crucial hour? Let me ask you, beloved, let me ask you a question. Are you available today? Are you doing your part to win souls? Are you passing out tracts? Are you inviting people to church? Or what are you doing? Are you just going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and prayer meeting Wednesday, where one person prays and a preacher preaches for hours? That's not what prayer meeting is about. Prayer meeting is people getting down their knees and crying out to God, the one that not only created heaven and earth, but he sent his son in to die for us. Let me ask you, friends, let me ask you, would you like to know tonight where you're going to spend eternity? I bet you would. And if you do, here's what you have to do. God said, you have to repent. That means turn your back on the old way of life. He wants to, you know, beloved, he's standing right now with outstretched arms. And he's saying, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden. Some of you have lost loved ones recently. Some of you have lost your homes and lost your job. Some of you have lost your faith. Oh, but he loves you. He said, you have not because you asked not. Oh, many times I've fell on my knees and cried out for help. I'm not ashamed to call upon him. He said that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace with our problems, with our heartaches and our troubles. He says someday when we get to heaven, he'll wipe away our tears and he'll be our God. Is that what you want? If you want to trust the Lord, I'd bow your head right now and you feel it tugging at your old heart. This is a prayer that could change your life. Dear Lord in heaven, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I ask you to forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. I won't use your name on the air and I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for money. Don't care where you go to church. Call me at 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, I pray something was said that would encourage your heart. Listen, I don't want to make people mad. I just want people to fall in love with Jesus. And friend, if you fall in love with Jesus, you'll never go wrong. Oh, you'll make mistakes. Sure you will. But you'll never go wrong because the Lord said he'd be with us even unto the end of the world. Well, pray for my operation, will you, this month. Pray that I'll come through it all right and I'll be feeling good again just like I used to. Pray for my wife, pray for our ministry, and pray for our tape ministries and everything that the Lord opens up to us. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.